Is your heart resting in Jesus tonight?
Colossians chapter 3 is where we'll be tonight. Colossians chapter 3. I'd like to start off telling you about a trip I recently had. I was on a plane ride from Miami to Charlotte, coming back to school and then to home for a little bit. And it was one of those plane rides where you're sitting next to someone and you try to find out, okay, is this person going to talk, or are they just, you know, off in their music or in their book or whatever? You try to find out, you know, what that person's like. And to my right was my pastor, and he was reading something or whatnot. And to my left was someone I didn't know, and I asked her name, and She told me it's Louisa, and we just started talking about, you know, what was going on in each other's lives. And she said, oh, I'm getting my education and so forth. She had a job, and she loved traveling. And we started talking about all sorts of different things. We actually got into the area of our backgrounds. And she said that she grew up in a Catholic church, and she grew up going to a Catholic school. But when she turned 18, she didn't want anything else to do with it. She was done with quote unquote religion. So I began to ask her different questions. She was trying out different areas in Hinduism, and she tried out yoga and the different religion behind that, and different things behind other sorts of stuff. And I asked her this question. Well, she said that she did believe that a God existed. You know, she just didn't like anything to do with organized religion. So I asked her, I said, what are some of the goals that you have in your life? You know, what are some of the things that you want to do? And she said, oh, well, I love traveling. Absolutely do. And she loved going to Turkey and wanted to travel even more around the world and go different places she'd never been before. And she wanted to get her education, get a different degree so she'd get a better job. She didn't like the one that she was at, but she knew that she would like the next step. So she's trying to get there. And then she said, you know, she even had in her heart to go to Africa for at least a little bit of time and help out children over there, whether with food or humanitarian aid or education, something along those lines. And I looked at her and I said, Miss Louisa, all that you said is good. There's nothing wrong with traveling, nothing wrong with getting your education or getting a better job or even helping people out. But I said, if you are trying to find peace in those areas, you will never find true peace. And she looked at me and she asked this question that I'll never forget. She said, okay, how do you find true peace? And that's our message tonight. Finding true peace. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 15 says this. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. I want to be very honest with you tonight. I'm speaking mainly to believers and speaking mainly to those who've already trusted Christ. But let me say this word before I begin. The Bible talks about two kinds of peace. There is the peace of God that is talked about in this passage. Paul, of course, is writing to believers. He's writing to those who place their faith in Jesus Christ. And he's saying to them, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And that's going to be our focus tonight. But let me say this. There's another peace that's mentioned in Scripture. And that is the peace that at that moment in that conversation, Miss Louisa needed. Maybe even today she still needs that peace. Maybe there's someone that you know that needs to accept Christ as their Savior. Maybe there's someone in this building who's not found that peace with God. It's talked about in Romans chapter 5, verse number 1, which says this. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what are you saying, Brother Thomas? I'm saying this. When we're born as a sinner by nature, and then we are a sinner by choice. You know, no one has to teach their son or their daughter, Pastor Ryan, did you have to teach Mila how to lie? No, he did not. she got it from her dad. Anyway, you don't have to teach your son or your daughter how to sin, right? Or Mila. Did I say it wrong? I said Mila. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Anyway, you don't have to teach anyone how to sin, right? We're a sinner by nature. We're a sinner by choice. When we're born, the Bible says that we're born dead in trespasses and sins. We are born separated from a holy God. Well, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. If I got what I deserve today, I would be on my way to a devil's hell. Why? Because I'm a sinner. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. When you accept Christ, the Bible says you've been made at peace with God. You are reconciled. The Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, therefore be reconciled to God. We're called to be ambassadors of Christ. To say, hey, we are separated from a holy God, but we need to restore ourselves in relationship to Him. And that comes through the cross of Christ, the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's the peace with God. But for the believer, we have what's called the peace of God. And that's the one that's talked about in this passage. Colossians chapter 3, Paul's writing to believers and he says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. How do you find true peace? How do I find true peace tonight? This message will be very simple. It's not going to go very deep, but I do hope it's a help to you. I want to start by telling this story. During the French War, a train carrying dispatches to the headquarters was compelled to go over 60 miles of very rough road and reach its destination within the hour. The engineer was the bearer of the dispatches, and his wife and child were in the coach every moment, threatened to pitch the train over the embankment or over a bridge. And as it rolled from side to side, leaping at times almost in the air, rushing past stations, the few people inside held their breath and often cried out with terror as they sped along. But there was one on that train who knew nothing of their fears, and that was the child of the engineer. Happy as a bird, she laughed, and when asked if she were not afraid, looked up and answered, "Why, my father's at the engine." A little later, the engineer came into the car to cheer up his wife, and as he wiped the great drops of sweat from his face, the child leaped into his arms and laid her head upon his bosom, as happy and peaceful as when at home. What a lesson for the children of the Heavenly Father. My friend, do you have peace tonight? Are you living with the peace of God? In Philippians chapter 4, Paul writes to the church at Philippi, he says this, "Be ye careful," or in other words, full of care, "be anxious, worrisome for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God." And then he says this in Philippians 4 verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." How did that girl in the story have peace? Because she knew who was in control. She knew who was at the helm. She knew who her father was. How does the Christian have peace? They have peace by realizing who their father is, by realizing who's in control. If I'm transparent with you, I'd have to tell you this. I am one of those people that you might call a control freak. I like being in control. I like driving. If the question is, who wants to drive? I'll probably raise my hand. Why? Because if I'm in the back, I'm going to criticize every turn that driver does. That Charlie's looking at me, nodding his head. He's like, yeah, uh-huh. But, I'm a terrible passenger. You know, because I say, well, I could have made that turn better. Yeah. Oh, well, I could have stopped better at that light. And probably not true. But anyway, I like being in control. And in different areas of my life, that'll show up as well. I don't know if you're this way, but I try to, you know, make sure things happen the way that I like it. You know, having peace, let me say it this way. Being in control, that's not true peace. True peace is not being in control, but knowing that He is. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Maybe tonight what we need to do, maybe there's a young man, maybe there's a young lady who needs to get their focus back on God. You're trying to figure out different things. Where am I going to go to college? What am I going to do with this class? What am I going to do with this friend or this relationship? Or how am I going to figure this out? And all the different things of life are burdening you, and you're worrisome, and you're being careful for, and you're just being worried about everything. And what you need to do is get your focus back on God and realize, you know what? God is in control. And go to Him first. One of the things that I struggle with is planning this and planning that, and then going to God and saying, God, would you bless the plans that I made without you? When really we ought to start with God. God, would you help me as I make the plans? God, would you help me to make plans that would please you? It's getting back closer to God and our relationship with Him. Are you saved tonight? Well, praise the Lord if you are, but how is your relationship with Him? How is your relationship with God? Are you praying to Him on a daily basis? Are you giving things over to Him? Is your focus upon Him? As we see our passage tonight, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. It's not the idea, have a say every now and then, or give a suggestion. No, but let the peace of God, and could I say it this way? Let the God of peace rule in your hearts. To which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. And then notice the next verse. Verse 16 says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And we'll stop there. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now, when holidays come, we like to have family in, or sometimes we go to visit family and we say, hey, come on in. Maybe they stay a day if it's Thanksgiving or Christmas, and then they leave. And what is one of the phrases that we say? Hey, make yourself at home. We always say that. We never mean it, but we say it. That's not what it's talking about here. It's not saying, oh, I want the word of God to get in me every now and then. But no. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In other words, it comes and it takes up residence. Josiah and I were looking up the word, and it's the idea of calling the shots. Let the word of Christ call the shots in your life. This is what we ought to do. This is not what we ought to do. Why? Because God hates us and wants to give us all these different rules and regulations? No! Because God wants what's best for your life. And He says, you know what? This is what would please me. And this is what would be best for you. Okay, this is not what would please me. And this will eventually hurt you. Sometimes we look at the commands in God's word and we say, God is so rigid and strict. But really, God is so loving and gracious to try to keep us from the sin and from the darkness and from the things that would drag us down into the pit. And I know that's been true in my life. There's a great connection, if you look at the Word of God, between the aspect of God's peace and His very Word. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. What is it saying? Great peace have they which love thy law. Love the Word of God. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, the writer of Scripture says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. The connection between the word of God and the peace of God. In Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17, the Bible says this, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. And then he says in verse 18, oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments. What is he saying? I wish you had listened to me. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. And you can mark this down. The further you are away from God's word, the further you will be away from God's peace. In my life, the times that I've struggled the most is when I have relegated the Word of God to a textbook. Or when I put it on the shelf and I open it when I have to, but I don't go to it for strength every day. I don't go to it as nourishment. Jesus is the bread of life. We need Him, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays, but I need Him every hour. I need Him every moment. And I can tell you this, I have to wrap up pretty soon, but very practically in my life, when I'm tempted to do something that's wrong, or when I'm tempted to go down a certain path that I shouldn't go, what helps me the most is remembering specific passages of Scripture that speak to my need. For instance, one of the things I don't like to do is wait. I don't like waiting. If it's a red light, I'm one of those people that try to, you know what I'm saying? I see some people nodding their heads. I just grip the steering wheel because there's no car within like 2 miles. Why do they have it that way? Couldn't there just be someone to say, you know what? I'll just come on along. But no. Anyway, back to the message. What I need to do in those times is not say, oh, I'm so frustrated. Can't believe I'm already late and I need to get somewhere. But how about take a sticky note, put it in your car. And, you know, when you're waiting there at the 2 minutes at that stoplight, instead of getting frustrated, instead of getting angry, Thomas, look on the Word of God, meditate on Scripture, remind yourself of what God has said. And one of the passages that I've worked on is Psalm 62, which in one verse it says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation, my hope is from Him. Maybe if you're tempted to go down a path that you shouldn't go, you need to memorize some specific passages that speak to your need. One of the passages we share with young people, like at Camp Barnabas, is Job 31, verse 1, which says this, I made a covenant, I made a promise with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? You know, I'm not going to go down that path. I'm not going to think wrong thoughts that would displease my God. The sins that sent my Savior to the cross. Maybe if you're dealing with something else, you need to memorize a specific portion of Scripture that would speak to that need. How do you find true peace? You find true peace by getting your focus back on God. Like it says in Philippians chapter 4, being careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer, just giving it over to Him, casting all your care upon Him, knowing that He careth for you. And not only that, not only through your relationship with God in prayer, but also through the Word of God. We talk about getting in Scripture. We talk about a Bible reading schedule. And I'm all for Bible reading schedules. I've used them. They've been very helpful. I've tried different ones and they've been of great benefit to me. But if you think that, and if I think that, you know, my Christian life is all about checking that box, making sure I've done my Bible reading for the day, then I've missed it. You see, God's given us His Word to have a relationship with us. To say, okay, I want to teach you every day. I want to comfort you through the Scripture. I want to encourage you in your walk with me today. I shouldn't just read God's Word for 5 minutes and then put it away. No, I should read it. I should meditate. I should think back on it. Instead of going down that path of thinking, oh, wow, I've done all these wrong things. Oh, I've messed up again. But think back to God. Think back to the Word of God and remind yourself of Scripture. And I promise you that you'll find that peace that passeth all understanding. I'll end with this illustration. Every year, there are thousands of people that visit the Winchester Mansion in San Jose, California. This massive structure was built by Sarah Winchester, the widow of the gun company owner. For 38 years, from 1884 until her death in 1922, the house was under constant construction. Teams of carpenters, masons, and other workers were employed around the clock. Various stories have been told about the reason for this unusual practice. Most center on Mrs. Winchester's belief that she either was haunted or would be haunted by the ghosts of those killed by her husband's weapons unless she kept building her house. Others claim that she thought she would not die as long as the building continued. Whatever the reason, she continued ordering more renovations and construction as long as she lived. There are more than, get this, 10,000 windows in the Winchester Mansion. Doorways and staircases that lead to blank walls and some 160 rooms in total. It's estimated that she spent more than $70 million in today's money on largely pointless construction. All in a desperate search for peace that was ultimately doomed to fail. Many people today are seeking peace through equally fruitless means. We turn to pleasure, drugs, alcohol, immorality, wealth, and other dead-end avenues. Like the staircases that lead nowhere in the Winchester Mansion, pursuing such paths will never bring true peace. Instead, we find peace when we follow the path that God's given us in His Word. My friend, where are you tonight? Do you have the peace of God? Is something burdening you? Is something frustrating you? Maybe it's a family situation. Maybe it's a financial issue. Something at work. Something at school. Can I encourage you to do this? Give it to God in prayer and find the answers in His Word. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord, I thank You for the peace with God we can find in salvation. I thank You for the day when I trusted You as my Savior. I thank You for this church and that it has a testimony of standing for the truth, standing for the Word of God. And I pray for each man and each woman, each boy and each girl that's listened to me tonight. I thank You for their attention. And I pray You'd help them to find that peace of God which passeth all understanding. Would You help us? We need You in Jesus' name. Amen.